All right, good morning to you. Happy Memorial Day. I shared with the staff back here when we prayed just a few minutes ago before we started. I saw something yesterday, and it was really made a lot of sense to me. It said, you know, we have Armed Services Day, which is for people that are currently serving in the military. We have Veterans Day for those that have retired from the military. And we have some, raise your hand if you're a veteran here this morning. There you go. We got lots of veterans. But then, yes, thank you. But then they said we had Memorial Day, which is for those that never got to take the uniform off. For those that currently wear the uniform, for those that have taken off the uniform and retired veterans. But we have this day, Memorial Day, which is about those that have never taken off the uniform that died in their service to freedom. I thought that was an interesting thing. I had never really thought about it that way. But we're glad that you're here today. We've been talking about being like Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus. And, you know, it's all about learning lessons from him and the way that he taught. You know, and see, we can, Jesus told parables. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But he also, like, just let parables happen, which is what today is. You know, he told parables, you know, he said this parable, but then there's other times that he just let parables happen. And the thing about it is, parables happen all the time in our lives. You know, parable is a, here, let me see, I have the exact definition of it here. It utilizes a story for a spiritual lesson. It can be a great story, a long story. It can be just a snippet. You know, the kingdom of heaven is like, you know, for example, today, parables still happen today. I did you know that a new golf ball costs $5? One. They're about, I mean, for the ones that I like, you know, they're about $47 for a dozen. It's like $5.65 a piece. Now, sometimes, and I've done this, I've played a whole round and put the same ball back in my bag. But, you know, that's not happened in a few years. You know, things have gone astray, and sometimes you'll come to a hole, and I was always told, if you came to a hole that, like, had water or something, get out a brand new ball. Put some pressure on yourself to hit that shot. You know, if you got a tight fairway to the right and out of bounds, don't take out an old ball. One guy said to his friend, said, you know, this is a water hole. Why don't you use an old ball? He said, I've never had ball long enough for it to get old. Sometimes you take out that $5.65 ball and you just knock it in the water. You knock it out of bounds and you lose it the first time you hit it. That's happened many times to me. God taught me a valuable lesson a couple years ago when I was playing this little course here locally, and there was a young man that had lived beside the course, and he was sitting there, and he had a little table, and he had collected golf balls, and he had them on a table, and you could buy them. And I went over and I'm looking around. You know, I like Titleist Pro V1s. Okay, it's a real expensive ball. And I'm like, here's like two or three Pro V1s. So I pick out these three Pro V1s, and then I look at them, and I realize that they have the exact same mark with a marker that he was selling me my ball back. And all of a sudden I wanted, instead of blessing the little guy, I wanted to arrest him for armed robbery. You know, I paid $5.65 for each of those balls, and now I've got to pay him $1.50 for each of them to get them back. And all of a sudden, you know, I think, well, that's a pretty good deal there. That little guy's making a lot of money that way. But then all of a sudden it hit me, John, there's a lesson to that, you know, about the cost of living and the cost of life and the cost of mistakes and, you know, how you have to be redeemed, how somebody else has to help in your redemption. There were so many things that flooded my mind about that little simple illustration. And it was about seeing a parable. You see, parables make up a crucial part of the Bible. Jesus used them, and he had the wisdom to simplify the most complex things about life and truths that he needed to share with humanity in the form of these little relatable stories that are so easy to understand. One man said that a parable is a tale about a simple, common subject to illustrate a more profound, valuable moral lesson. And that's what Jesus is doing here. Matter of fact, if you go back to the beginning of chapter 4, what is it? You have the parable of the sower. We talked about that. Then you have the story about a lamp on a stand and how you don't come in and cover it up, but that you put it out so everyone can see it. He has the parable of the growing seed, the parable of the mustard seed. And then today, starting in verse number 35, he talks about Jesus calming a storm. And here's my question for you. Is this a parable? Now, I'm not ready to hang a denominational tie onto this, but I think it is. Jesus doesn't say that I tell you this parable, but something happens that is a parable for them in life. And when you think about this and when you look at it, you know, what is a parable and how Jesus taught in parables? And then it says in verse number 36 here in Mark, it says that Jesus left the crowd behind. Now, if you remember from the very beginning of Mark, Jesus has always been crowded with people. People wanting to see, people wanting to hear, people wanting to touch him, people wanting healing, people wanting to be around him, people just wanting to see what was going on and what all the commotion was about. But here in this text, it just simply says that Jesus went away from the crowd, and that he got on this boat and he went over to the other side. Here, let me read the text for you in verse 35. He says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Wow. This is a really crucial point in the ministry of Jesus. It's actually an instance that's repeated in the other gospels as well. But Mark here has this special way of saying what Jesus was doing. Jesus always taught truths about life. That's the point. Jesus always taught truths about life. Isn't that what a parable is? And there was lots of times that Jesus said, "Here, let me tell you this parable." And then there were other times he just let parables happen. And my point to you, and even to myself today, is that God still does this with us all the time. It's just that we don't pay attention. We don't see it. We don't understand it. We don't process it. We don't ask him what he's trying to show us, what he's trying to tell us, what we need to learn. Folks, listen, you should go into life every day with this openness to what God is going to teach you. Because God is going to teach you not just right here, right now, not just later on in your class or in your small group or whatever. That's not the only time that God wants to teach you. God wants to teach you every moment of every day. That's why the Bible is pretty clear that he says that when you lay down and go to sleep at night, And when you wake up in the morning, you will hear from the Lord. So are you paying attention to the truths that God is trying to teach you in life every day? You know, a lot of times I have people come to me and they share, you know, some situation in life, some issue that's going on, some problem they're trying to solve. And they want to know, you know, what's your advice? You know, what do you think God thinks about this? And almost every time in their talking, they show me that God has been speaking, but they haven't been listening. You know, for example, not too long ago, you know, you have a conversation with somebody and they're talking about their relationship with their wife. You know, I want my relationship to my wife to be, you know, what God wants it to be. And then they talk about their deficiencies and the other person's deficiencies. And by the way, I've always felt that most times if you can get people focused on what they're doing wrong in a relationship and working on that, they got a better chance at making some progress other than just telling you what's wrong with the other person. Okay, that's just an aside. But anyway, in this conversation, this fellow, you know, he's wanting some help with this. And then he started telling me about people in his life that had done it right. And all of a sudden in my mind, it's like, he's not paying attention. He's coming here for advice and God's giving it to him, you know, in something else. Or he says, you know, I have this buddy and here's what he's gone through. And boy, I can tell you that this is the problem that he had. And this is the bad decision that he made. And, you know, and I, and it's like, okay, are you paying attention? God's trying to help you here. There's so many times that I think that we go looking for answers, and God has given us answers each and every day. He always teaches with truths about life. Here, let me show you the ones that he's saying here. He calms a storm. He just leaves all the crowd. And you think the commotion is over, and he's out here with his disciples on the boat, and the storm comes. What's the lesson? Storms always come. I don't know if you've been noticing the last several days. Hasn't it been glorious here? I'm not sure we've seen this much sunshine in Pennsylvania in quite a long time. And it's quite nice, isn't it? Oh, we know what's coming, right? I mean, we know that there's storms coming. Did you know that a tornado hit my hometown 2 weeks ago? Unbelievable. An actual tornado hit Pennington Gap, Virginia, my hometown, tore down or ripped up almost the only restaurant we have in town. That's how small my hometown is. But my sister says, yeah, John, we had a tornado. Come on, really, a tornado? You know, it's mountainous, kind of like it is here, even more so. And, you know, it's just tornadoes aren't things that happen there. But they did. Sometimes I think we think, you know what? Why is my life in turmoil? Why is a storm hitting me? There's always storms. But here's the thing. The people that pay attention to all of the lessons that God has taught them before the storm, during the storm, and after the storm, they're the ones that are prepared for the storm. And Jesus here is saying to them and showing them, listen, there will always be storms. Did you know that Sea of Galilee here, that storms were very, very prevalent? I mean, they were known to happen over and over again. And part of it is, you know what? Don't think something different has happened when a storm comes. And that's true for our lives. But a lot of times, I think different than what the story says here, is that we walk right into the storm. A number of years ago, my father-in-law and I, we rented a charter to fish on Lake Erie for walleye. And we went up there to do this charter, and the weather was bad. It was, you know, the waves on Lake Erie were quite high that day. And we got there, and we were questioning whether or not we should go. And the captain of the boat that we had chartered, he said, oh, you get out past the breakers, and it won't be that bad. I'm looking out there, and it's like, I don't see any boats. None. And all I see are these giant waves just rolling. And he's like, oh, come on, we can go. And then it hit me. Wait a minute. He's the one making money out of this. Okay? I didn't have a death wish, so my father-in-law and I, we both said, no, we're not going. He tried to talk us out of it. And then we heard later that it was extremely dangerous to be out on that lake. And who knows what would have happened. Sometimes we just walk right into the storms, don't we? But here's the thing to notice about this storm that I think is so beautiful. Because our faith determines our reaction. Our faith is what determines our reaction. If you look at the different reaction between the disciples and Jesus, the disciples are up on the boat, and what are they thinking? We're going to die. But Jesus is down in the front of the boat, sleeping. Isn't that amazing? Oh, to have the ability to remain calm in the storms of life. Oh, to have the ability to sleep through the storms of life. But Jesus here, his reaction and the reaction of the disciples are so very different. They thought they were going to die, and he had the ability to sleep. But here's what was interesting. They come down and they wake Jesus up, right? And what do they say? Don't you care that we're going to drown? Isn't that an odd question? You know what comes to my mind when I read that question in Scripture was this. Have they paid attention to anything Jesus has said or done? I mean, to question his devotion, to question his love, to question his ability, to question him at all seems to be inappropriate. But we do that all the time. You know, storms come into our life and we say, oh my goodness, what have I done that's caused God to test me this way? You know, storms come into our life and right away, you know, what sin have I committed that has caused God to do this against me? You see, our reaction to the storm should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. As long as we had been paying attention in life. You see, it's not so much the parable right here, but it's the parables every day that God gives us and that Jesus shows us that will teach us and help us and make us stronger for those days when we will face the storms of life. Our faith determines our reaction. And then Jesus did something that they could not do. He rebuked the storm. He rebuked the storm. You know, my mind goes back to the story of Job, where there was always limits placed on the devil of what he could do to Job. Yeah, you can do, but don't do this. Don't do this. Don't take his life. There were always limits to what the devil could do. And I think that's true today. God has told us in his word that there's no temptation that'll come to us, but just what is common, that everybody, you know, storms of life hit everybody. But with temptation, God what? God will always provide a way of escape that we might be able to endure. It's just so often, like the disciples, we give in to the storm that is before us. And it just erodes away the faith around us and the faith in us as we face the storms. You know, what my mind thinks about too when I read this story is that how they didn't ask him to rebuke the storm. Now, I'm sure that if they had asked, that could have been something that he granted. But the thing about it is that Jesus just in the moment calmed the storm. You ever had that happen? I've had that happen. Have you ever had a storm raging in your life? And then all of a sudden it's just gone. I think that's the same kind of thing here. That God will calm our storms in life if we just continue to have faith in Him. But here's the thing. Notice that at the end of this, Jesus questioned their faith. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" I mean, do they remember the parable that he just told prior to this about the faith of a mustard seed? That Jesus spoke the word to them, verse 33, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. Isn't that amazing? He told parables, but then when he got them together, he explained them to them. They understood the mustard seed kind of faith and what that kind of faith could bring to their lives. But they didn't have it. Matter of fact, I think in verse 41, when it says that they were terrified, I think they were terrified of him. Think about this. He's already calmed the storm, but then he questioned their faith. And then they were terrified. I think the terror that they were experiencing here, because the very next phrase that they say is what? Who is this? The terror was of Jesus. So here's the thing, folks. We have to deal with this fundamental question first before we can ever learn and benefit from the parables that he's told us and the parables that he continues to tell us today. We have to deal and answer this question: who is this? Because when we know who Jesus is, and when he becomes your Lord and Savior, then the storms become secondary. But when you do not know Jesus as he wants you to know him, that's when the storms are most terrifying. I can tell you, folks, from experience in my own life, when I've dealt with people that are in their last moments of life, when they've settled the question of who is Jesus, the storm of even death itself brings no fear. But when you have not settled the question of who is Jesus, when you are not terrified of this amazing one that is in your life, then we just continue to struggle with the storms that come and go and sap our strength. And then we don't learn from what God is showing us and what God is teaching us. And then we find ourselves in this endless cycle of being in the middle of the turmoil and not being able to stand the wind and the waves that are around us. But this parable started with an invitation from Jesus. Let us go to the other side. But little did the disciples know that Jesus was not just talking about the distance from one side of a lake to another. But he was talking about a journey of understanding who he was, how powerful he was, and the power that he could bring into their lives. And you know what? When you study the lives, the end of the life of so many of the disciples, how they died, where they died, the way that they died, the way that they were martyred, it brings me to realize that when they here were worried about that Jesus was just going to let them drown, that they had learned so much from then to the end because they knew. They knew who Jesus was, and they were no longer terrified of life. They were only terrified of life without him. And I don't know about you folks, but that's a place that I want to be. How about you? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful morning, Lord, this good day. Lord, I pray that we could leave the crowds, Lord, and get in the boat with Jesus and go to the other side. And Lord, may we experience a storm, just like we always do, Lord. Storms come, storms go. Sunshine doesn't always remain. But that, Lord, you remain. You're the constant. You're the one always wanting to teach us. You're the one, Lord, that wants us to look at the birds of the air and see that they don't toy, that they don't spin, but yet you care for them. Lord, you want us to look and to know that the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. That, Lord, you're the one that wants us to look and know that we're like the sands of the seashore in the way that you have blessed us. That, Lord, you want us to look at everything around us in life and everything that we experience in life as a parable to teach us, Lord, how to be faithful to you. So, Father, I pray right now that every person in this room has dealt with that question of who is Jesus. That who is Jesus? That he's not just a passenger on their boat, but that, Lord, he is the source of their strength. He is the source of their hope. He is the one, Lord, that we put our faith in. And because we can put our faith in him, the storms of this life can rage and they can threaten us. But they cannot touch, Lord, that part of us that will live forever. So, Father, wherever we are in life, whatever storms are raging around us, Lord, may we react as Jesus did with calm assurance, Lord, that even lets us rest. Rest, Lord, in his presence, knowing that he is always there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.